The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We're going to keep on talking about this current situation, cyber attacks. We're talking about the OPM situation, not a story that's really going away. And the reason why it's not going away is because the impact on it. It's a long-term impact. Over 22 million people have been impacted in terms of a data breach at the Office of Personnel Management, people with clearances, people who may have applied for government positions, people who are already government employees. We're talking about this today, but we're talking about the impact on in terms of people who work for the government who may have clearances or their identities have been stolen. And also, what's the impact in terms of the reputation of the federal government? As we're looking to hire people who are cyber professionals or people who have certain skill sets who don't really have to come into the government, but they have the skill sets that we need, are they now going to look at government differently as we go forward? What is the damage that has been caused by this, both short term and long term? We're talking to one of our favorite guests, Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. You can find him at ClearanceJobs.com. It's a great site for anyone who has a clearance from public trust all the way to top secret. Top Secret SCI, Top Secret with a poly. If you have a clearance, you should be on that site. Government agencies, contractors, and everybody else are looking for good candidates on that site. Evan, thank you for coming by Fair Access.
Derek, always a pleasure.
Hey, Evan, talk to us about this situation. I mean, you know, we've seen the impact on it. It got big news, but even as it may kind of go out a little bit on the news cycle, so to say, the impact is still there. What are you seeing?
It's almost surreal, Derek. It would be one thing if there was a hack similar to last summer where it was just 4 million, records. But considering at this point they pretty much understand that everybody with clearance since 2000 or who had applied for a federal job, who had applied for clearance, plus all the people that are, listed as references within each standard form, are also, at risk. It's just absolutely gigantic, and I think that the impact of this is something that is not going to go away for at least a decade, if not longer.
Wow. As we think about it and we're looking at it, the impact is in terms of a SF-86, that national security questionnaire, what some people look at the EQIP. I don't think just a regular person who maybe who hasn't really applied for federal government really understands. But is this a situation that, because I've heard concerns that it's not even that the information could be used right now. It could be used 5 years down the road to either blackmail somebody or get to somebody. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, when you have that much information on an individual, and for anyone who's listening who doesn't fully know what the standard forms do, is that they get into your entire background, everything from mental health to work, family members, overseas travel, use of technology, medications, medical history, financial history. I mean, it is everything, as you expect for undergoing the process to obtain a security clearance. They have to know everything about you. So it's a very frightening for people to understand that their personal information, secrets that maybe only they and the government knows, are now, somewhat public. It depends on how the information is going to be distributed and used. There are black markets for this type of information, and there's, the outstanding question at this point is where is it going to go? So, we initially thought that this was likely the Chinese who broke in and stole this information, and that may or may not be the case. The main point is that it's been taken, and now it could be distributed. It could be sent all over the web to anyone else, and that just leaves so many people wide open to any number of issues or problems that can crop up. And if it was just a little bit of information similar to maybe the Target hack or the Sony hack or the Home Depot hack, that would have been something that could have been fairly easily fixed. So things like your name, your address, your email address, credit card information, you know, that stuff is always dangerous to get out there, but it can be fixed. And, and here we're talking about everything.
Right.
So it's truly something that is frightening and is going to be an issue for decades to come.
You know, you deal with a lot of employers, both government agencies and contractors. What are you hearing on this end? I mean, one, we had the situation where Equip has been shut down. What are you hearing in terms of the impact of the timeline of clearances? Is this going to be a major impact in terms of delays of people getting clearances? What are you hearing from the employers? What are you hearing from the investigators and the adjudicators?
So I think from the investigator and adjudicator front, they're fairly exasperated with the OPM with regards to how this has been handled. Understanding that, you know, credit card monitoring, credit profile score monitoring, and maybe identification monitoring for however many years paid for by the government is only a start. It does not cover the host of people that are detailed within the standard forms that are your personal contacts, your coworkers, your family members. You know, what about those folks? So some of the issues that the investigators and adjudicators are bringing up to us are, one, the response from the government. Two, the fact that part of that response was to allow for paper forms to be filled out. And really the reason that the OPM moved away from paper forms is that it was a logistical nightmare. You know, there were plenty of cases of paper forms getting lost, getting stuck back in the process, insecurity of having an actual paper document going around. So, you know, that is seen as a really kind of nonsensical response.
Mm-hmm.
To our knowledge, we've not talked to any employer that has said, you know what, we are going to proceed with getting people cleared. We are going to fill out the paper forms. We are going to try that out. Most companies have said they're not even going to bother with that, and that it seems like less than a Band-Aid on such a huge open problem. So that's the feedback from the investigators and adjudicators. What we're hearing from cleared professionals is that if the government can't effectively secure their information, they're not entirely sure if they want to continue supplying that information to the government.
Hmm.
We're in a really good job market. There are lots and lots of jobs out there, both in the defense, intelligence, and homeland security sector, as well as the non-cleared sector. So if this were 2012, 2013, or maybe 2007, 2008, when we've had a depressed job market and there weren't a whole lot of positions out there and there were so many unemployed people, you wouldn't hear nearly as many complaints. But these days, having a clearance, while helpful, is not the golden ticket that it used to be. You can find jobs outside of the defense industry that don't require a clearance. They are plentiful. Unemployment numbers are down. Job opportunities are up. Companies are hiring. So with that in mind, it's bringing to mind, the fact that a lot of candidates are now saying, maybe I don't want to work for government anymore. Maybe I need to get out of this. This is something that's going to affect me for a long time, and maybe I need to look at a career elsewhere. So that's the standpoint between investigators and adjudicators as well as candidates. We can also talk about employers.
You know, this is so scary for, as we think about it, because like you mentioned, the job market is getting better and better and better. And then especially for those who have the top talent that we need. And we can talk about later what the trends are in terms of what the government is needing. But I mean, of course, we talked about cyber, and this also, yields itself to why we need the cyber experts. But they don't have to be a part of the government. They can go to the Googles, they can go to the banks, they can go to all the other companies who will pay them a premium and not ask test for the same level of sensitive information on your personal life. And, you know, the I guess the concern of it is that can the government really repair its reputation?
Yeah, it was bad enough after Edward Snowden. Government's reputation, especially the intelligence agencies, took a huge hit. And I think before the OPM hack, the government was just starting to show signs of maybe being able to get out from under that black cloud that the Snowden breach had cast. And granted, that's been ongoing, and every month or so it seems like new information comes out from that breach. But there were signs that the government was starting to take its own public relations to heart and trying to do what it could to not be seen as such a bad guy. And then with this OPM hack happening, everything is restarted. And in many cases, I think people are understanding that the OPM hack is far worse than what Edward Snowden, unleashed upon the government. So, the whole talk of insider threat almost collapsed, and the focus was shifted back to what can an external entity do with regards to a data breach. And if you're looking for the ultimate data breach, I guess aside from, nuclear codes, this is about as big as it could get.
Right. We're talking to Evan Lesser. We are talking about the critical nature of this OPM threat. What's the impact on everybody, but really the dynamic of the clearances? Is this going to now impact the timeline in which people get clearances? Is it going to impact the recruits that the federal government can get in terms of the cyber experts or other people who have technical skills or other professional skills that the government needs? Will these people now walk away from government if they are with government, or will they say, listen, I don't want to work for government now because you cannot protect my information. You can't protect my personal life at this point in time, and you're the government. We're talking about all these critical issues right now on Fed Access. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about this whole situation with OPM. The OPM hack has now compromised over 22 million people in terms of, anybody who's applied for the federal government, people with clearances, and that includes not only people who work for the federal government, but it could be contractors, everyone else. But 22 million people have now been impacted in terms of their records that have been now compromised and are in the hands of someone who we do not know. We're talking about the impact on that in terms of the clearance jobs market, about how is it going to impact people with clearances. How is it going to impact hiring? How is it going to impact people who are trying to get their clearance right now? And also, how will it impact the future of government to recruit the right kind of people? We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is a founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. Again, you can find him at ClearanceJobs.com. But it's a great website. If you've got a clearance from public trust all the way to the highest levels of top secret SCI, top secret with a poly, you need to be on this site. Great place to find jobs, great place to network, great place for employers to kind of connect with you, not only if you're looking for now, but also the future. Evan, we were talking about this whole situation and looking at the kind of almost a reputation of the government was just bouncing back. We've had two big blows. We've had the dynamics of Edward Snowden. Now we've got the dynamics of this OPM hack. You know, I was having a conversation one day and somebody talked about the crown jewels. It seems that the government does not understand sometimes what the crown jewels are that need to be protected until it's too late. And I think you were kind of alluding to that this situation is not something that we could necessarily forecast or predict. But were we putting was enough information being put into this, or enough kind of security dynamics being put into protecting personnel records, do you think?
Yeah, and I think what has bugged a lot of cybersecurity professionals is the fact that some of the key data on people in the OPM system was apparently stored unencrypted.
Wow.
And that is, literally akin to leaving all the lights on in your house,
right,
all the doors wide open,
right,
and leaving the keys in the door. It is, in this day and age, just unacceptable, and
right,
especially for data that's as sensitive as that. It's really easy to, to point a finger at the president or the administration and say, this is something that, you know, should have been handled. But when you get down to it, you're looking at a small number of people that are responsible for securing federal networks and for ensuring that the data is inaccessible, ensuring that the data is encrypted properly. And if those people report up the chain and nothing gets done, then, you know, that agency is really at fault. And it doesn't matter whether this is OPM, Army, Navy, Air Force, any other federal agency. You're taking a look at the recommendations of a small group of cybersecurity professionals, and if they're not taken to heart, then this kind of thing is going to be all too common. And, you know, I think the level of frustration out there that this happened is huge. But when you take a look at some of the particulars, that the data was unencrypted in many cases, that the OPM was using foreign nationals as contractors, the response so far, the fact that a lot of people have not yet been notified that they were part of this this breach, it's really just come across as just a terrible example of government ineptitude, and it's something that is on such a wide scale, it's hard to fathom.
You know, we were talking before we got the show started, and you were kind of mentioning about clearances and a person now really not being able to wait on the federal government to do something for you, but you've got to work to protect your own identity. This whole, you know, yeah, giving somebody a few years of identity protection is not going to be enough. What are you recommending, you know, to people who have clearances who, you know, like you said, are not being notified right now? But if you probably apply for the federal government, have been a part of the federal system since 2000 in some kind of capacity, or you were on somebody's list, and some people don't even know they were on somebody's list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can a person do to say, I have to be proactive and deal with my own identity and protection of it?
Yeah, and I think that the, you know, 24 plus million people who have been affected by the OPM hack have to assume that, similar to government networks, that they are going to be under attack continually, and that mm-hmm. any message, any phone call, any piece of mail or email, text, anything could potentially be coming as a result of this hack. And, you know, the phishing scams that have gone on lately are really getting a whole lot more sophisticated. So we've all gotten messages that say, you know, I'm stranded in so-and-so country, and I got your message, your email from someone else, and I need help, and can you send cash here? And, you know, those kind of things are so easy to dismiss because they have no relevance for you. There's nothing personal about it. But if someone or some entity has detailed information on you, on your family, on your history, on where you've been, the phishing scams that could be created could be so detailed and so intricate that even people who, you know, weed these things out for a living would take a second look and wonder, boy, is this real?
Right.
If you got a message from someone claiming to know your parents or your brother or your sister, and talked about locations you've been and talked about places you've worked, it's going to be hard to discern what is a legitimate message and what is some manner of attack or phishing scam. So, you know, our advice really to anyone that is part of this 20 plus million people is that they're going to have to be vigilant constantly, and to readily assume that any type of communication they get could be coming from this hack and could be something that is nefarious. At this point, with Social Security numbers being part of the breach, with fingerprints being part of the breach, those entities are going to have every bit of information about you, and it's going to take two or three, you know, glances at some type of communication to really figure out if it's real or not.
You know, as I think about this, it becomes even more scarier, Evan, because, I mean, you're right. Fingerprints, people's fingerprints are part of that information that has been compromised. I mean, and just think about the biometrics that we have, you know, where, you know, you can do fingerprints on your phone or whatever the case is as your security. But now, depending on how sophisticated the person is, now they have, access to biometric information that they can use. And those are some things that don't change. You can't change your fingerprints, right?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no. So this is definitely the first wave. The first wave is the data breach. It's done. The data is gone. Who knows who's got it? Who knows who will have it? The second wave is going to be what gets done with that data.
Right.
How is it going to be used? Who is going to be targeted? Is it going to be sold off for some of the more basic and easy to spot phishing scams, or is it going to be sent off to foreign governments for intelligence purposes, where meticulously it will be combed through to try to find people to exploit. The government is going to have to be extra vigilant, but every individual is going to have to be vigilant as well, because any type of message could potentially be, fraudulent.
We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is a founder and director of clearancejobs.com. It's a great site that if you have a clearance, you should be on there. But we're talking the impact of what's happening with this OPM hack and the 22+ million people who have been impacted by this. And just as Evan was saying, the first wave is that now the data is in the wrong hands. Now we're dealing with multiple waves of how this data will get used in order possibly to compromise people, steal identities, maybe get money, maybe try to find out who people are in the government, maybe find out who people are undercover working in embassies or working in certain foreign lands and possibly compromise them. There's so many horrible implications of it, and we're talking about them today on Fed Access. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. We'll be right back after this break. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about the OPM hack. We've been having this conversation for several times on Fed Access, but the reason why we're keeping it, in the foreground of Fed Access is because we can't let this go. This is a really, really important situation, a critical situation, because of the impact it has not only on people who have clearances, but it has a long-term impact on the reputation of the federal government, has a long-term impact on can we recruit the right people to federal government who are going to keep the government safe, is going to keep property safe, going to keep intellectual property safe, that's going to keep our national security secrets safe, and also the people who work for national security safe and their identity safe. So that's why we're keeping this on the foreground of the conversation right now. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of clearancejobs.com, a great site that people can go on to find jobs that are government jobs, jobs in the defense community and intel community and everywhere else that are contractors and everything else. But if you have a clearance, you should be on there finding jobs, networking, getting advice. Evan, in the social media space, I was having a conversation the other day, and we were talking about kind of Facebook and LinkedIn and implications of all this kind of stuff. And you were kind of really hitting it in the last segment about, now that a person, phishing scams were not sophisticated, because they were always talking about somebody in Nigeria. Like, I don't know nobody, I don't know anybody there. Right. And, like I'm abandoned. I'm going to give you $1 million and put it in your account and give me back this. But now, like Facebook and everywhere else. Right. If a person knows your life, and then they can start figuring out who your friends are, they can start figuring out who your family, who your family members are. They can create fake profiles, fake identities, fake such and such. And sometimes on Facebook, we don't call a person to say, hey, did you just put a like request for me? We just accept it sometimes, right? We just go forward and just do certain things because we see their picture. We, they got enough stuff on their page that says that's them, right? And then we just go forward. What can be done with this is massive, in getting into people's LinkedIn profiles, Facebook, Twitters, and everything else. What are you recommending with social media?
Well, I think social media, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, was such a necessity for maintaining a personal brand and showcasing your skills and being able to really tell an employer who you are, what motivates you, what drives you, where you're going in your career. It's not that has necessarily changed. It's kind of altered a bit. There are so many places now to understand the kind of online footprint of an individual beyond Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, that people's social information is really spread out among far more sites now than it was maybe 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago, it was all about LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Now that information is far more wide-reaching, and I think if people don't already know it, they should be reminded that the type of information that companies and marketers are interested in is not just, you know, what you like, what you don't like, where you live. They're looking at things like where you are in terms of geography. Where have you visited? How many times have you visited a certain place? What were your sentiments around some type of interaction that you had with a person, place, thing, a brand, or a product? Big data is more than just your name, your address, your phone number. Most of the current discussions around big data revolve around behavior and what a person is doing and how they think and how they feel about certain things. And all that data is being pulled together and aggregated and really given marketers a much better way to advertise to you. A lot of people do searching on the web and they wonder, gosh, how is this ad coming up for me? It's so relevant, makes so much sense for what I'm doing. Whereas, you know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, we were all seeing ads for things that just didn't matter too much to us. Now they're far more targeted. They're based on everything from your likes, your dislikes, where you've been, you know, things that are really a little bit more hard to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
But for social media now and with people that may be affected by the OPM breach, they really have to be more careful. They have to be more understanding. They have to pay attention to privacy controls. They have to try to lock themselves down as much as they can. It's kind of understandable that social media is here to stay. People are going to be interacting with other people on many of these sites and apps. You can't just pull out of it entirely and say, you know what, I'm done online. But you can be smart about it. And every company has dealt with some manner of data breach. There are privacy controls put in. There are security controls put in. You know, everyone should take the time to really dig in deep and understand what's available to them. To try to lock down any social account that they have as much as possible without limiting, you know, overall functionality, but protecting themselves as well.
Do you think, and we're saying that kind of locking down your social media identity and everything else, if somebody say, you know what, I'm just going to get off it, I'm done, would that impact them career wise, or would that still be okay? I mean, if they just use a site like yours and said, I'm just going to use a site that kind of keeps things behind a firewall and keeps, you know, and it's not kind of social media related, but I'm still, you know, getting to employers and getting to certain people, will that look negatively upon them?
It may. Really may. And I think what's interesting is what we hear from employers in that they always end up Googling potential candidates,
right.
and they have been for some time. But where a red flag gets raised is if they do not see much of an online profile for an individual under the age of 50.
Okay.
Communication is obviously a top skill for just about any job out there. And at these days, communication is not just verbal. It's about how well you write. It's about how well you utilize social media. It's about how many connections you have. It's about who you're connected to. So there's so much more to it these days than there was even just 5 or 6 years ago. So employers do look at your social media presence, and there are ways for them to understand what social sites you've been on, even if they can't necessarily see that activity or see your profile. And many companies are now saying, you know, good communication is far more than just a conversation we might have on the phone. Good communication is more and more about your online presence and how you've utilized that, what benefits it's gotten for you. And, you know, I think that's a big part of job hunting these days is how you portray yourself online, because employers do look for it. And if there's simply nothing there, it's going to raise red flags.
You know, with all of that, and as we go, and I want to hit this the next segment, because, you know, I want to kind of go into advice and what are you seeing in terms of trends and everything else. I mean, this landscape is changing so quickly, like you just mentioned, LinkedIn and everything else. And so what used to be the thing that was in 1 minute now becomes now that's kind of like that was the past thing that was a year ago or 2 years ago. You know, for the current job seeker, I want to kind of go into what advice can we give them as it relates to, you know, making sure you're successful, even in this market that has so many different concerns in it. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. We're talking about what's going on with this OPM hack, but we're talking about how it impacts the job seeker, the clearance job seeker who's out there, you know, how it's going to impact them in terms of whether they go into government contracting, how will it impact them in terms of their clearances? What kind of job search would they be doing right now as they go into the future? We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been having a real good conversation about the dynamics of this OPM hack. How has it impacted people? How is it impacting those with clearances? How is it impacting the future of federal government in terms of the reputation? And will we be able to recruit the right kind of people? We've been talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. Great site for the job seekers out there who have clearances. Great site for employers who are looking for people with clearances, whether you're a government agency or an intel contractor, a defense contractor, homeland security contractor. A lot of times you can find the right candidates on ClearanceJobs.com. Evan, you know, when you look at the situation right now, you know, and we're looking at trends, and of course, there's a lot of concerns out there. Is there any good news out there for the job seeker? Are we seeing any kind of trends? Are we seeing new hiring come online? What are you seeing out there?
Well, you know, 2015 has been, I would say, a banner year for hiring in defense, intelligence, and homeland security. You know, we have seen more jobs out there than ever before in our 13-year history. Hmm. We're seeing a huge number of small businesses starting up in defense and intelligence and homeland security. I think the wave of startups that really were focused on non-cleared positions, a lot of that thinking and rationale and mindset has finally made its way over to the East Coast with regards to these industries. So there are a lot of startups that deal with cybersecurity, that deal with biometrics, UAVs and drones, all kinds of different things. And, you know, these small companies are really eager to perform, and they're being very aggressive in terms of trying to obtain subcontracts. So the number of jobs we've seen has increased dramatically this year. The number of employers, quantity of total employers has increased dramatically. At the same time, you know, the total number of people with clearance has dropped. It's no longer that 5.2 million, that number that was touted for so long. At this point, the current government numbers are between 3.6 and 3.9 million people with active or current security clearance.
And Evan, let me interject. Was that because people left the market, or was that because I know agencies at one point in time were starting to just cut people clearance levels?
Yeah, it's mostly due to the latter. For the longest time, due to the fact that the investigative process took so long, companies were getting people cleared even though they did not need to have access to classified information. They wanted to have a bench of cleared people ready to go. In the event that they want a contract, they would already have people that had their clearance and could be put on the job. So in the past 14 months, in the wake of Edward Snowden, you know, calls were made from lawmakers to get close to the cleared population and try to figure out who really needed a clearance. And what they found is that there are a large number of people that had clearance, that were getting their clearance maintained year after year, and they had no job that required access to classified information. So, you know, the crackdown on that has been very widespread. companies are no longer able to have this large bench of people that are cleared and ready to go to work. So lots of jobs, not nearly enough people to fill those jobs. You can do the math, and you can see that the supply and demand balance is very much out of whack.
Wow. And you know, the crazy part about it is that everything is very, very reactive, right? So, I mean, we reacted to the Edward Snowden situation, got rid of a whole bunch of clearances and everything else, and then all of a sudden there's a rebound in the situation. We need a whole bunch of people with clearances, and then we don't have enough.
Exactly. And the problem is that it makes, one, costs go up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a candidate who's in demand, and many are these days, employers are willing to increase compensation and salaries, both to hire new people as well as to keep the most valuable people on board. We have not run a salary survey this year. We do plan on running one in 2016, and I have no doubt that we're going to see that salaries have increased considerably along the last year. But, you know, those costs get pushed on to the government, and it just makes the overall, process less efficient. There are so many jobs, not nearly enough candidates, and, you know, while candidates may have their choice of jobs, it's not sitting well with employers. It's always difficult to spend 6 months trying to bring someone on board, finally get them on board, and then within 3 months, they're already starting to get offers from other companies for a whole lot more money doing the same type of position. So it's a really bad situation that we're in, unfortunately, and I think that the OPM hack has just made things far worse, because the cleared population being so small and the fact that at this point nobody is getting a clearance or being reinvestigated at present time, it's really slowed things down. And we're getting to a critical juncture where if jobs that are at the TSSCI level that are very critical to national security are not getting filled, then we're looking at truly a national security issue. And how do you solve that? You have to get people through the system.
Wow. You know, when you see the kind of jobs that are being asked for right now by employers, what are you seeing out there, Evan?
It's everything. It's kind of similar to what we were seeing post 9/11 in the fact that there's a lot of activity for cleared people overseas. Intelligence gathering has increased dramatically. Obviously, cybersecurity has been and more than ever now is going to be just a huge, huge industry, and not nearly enough trained people to fill those open positions. Lots of training positions, both overseas and stateside. IT has never been bigger. The number of people that are needed for cloud computing roles, for mobile development, for big data activities are really just skyrocketing. So there's so much opportunity for companies out there. There's so much business. There's so many contracts out there, but just not nearly enough people.
Wow. You know, when we think about this dynamic and so the job seeker and everyone else, I mean, this now has become a job seeker's market, it seems, in terms of putting things out. I mean, what advice do you have for the job seeker right now?
You know, I think the biggest advice is that this bubble won't last forever. You know, it was just 2 years ago that we were dealing with government shutdown, with budget cuts, with the sequester. And people, you know, very quickly forgot what a difficult time that was. And in that case, there were tons and tons of people in the marketplace and not nearly enough jobs out there. And in just 2 years later, it's totally flipped. So this marketplace is not going to last. You know, our recommendation for most people, even if you're happily employed, is that you have to be networking. You have to be talking to employers. You have to be building up your own online presence and building up your own personal brand, but doing so in a way that maintains your security,
mm-hmm.
Getting as many contacts as you can, talking to employers and recruiters, figuring out what kind of salary you can command, what their needs are. It really is just a requirement to have that type of networking going on constantly, even if you're happily employed, because this bubble won't last.
You know, with all of that, we only got a few minutes left. With all of that, we talk about the career fair. I know you got a career fair coming up next week. In terms of certain things, are you recommending that people, whether you have a job or not, you still got to stay out there? You still got to continue to meet because, you know, the pendulum is going to swing the other way at some point in time. Are you recommending those things?
Most definitely. And you know, information is power, and connections are really how people are finding the best job opportunities and who are, you know, getting hired these days. It's more and more about who you know than it ever has been in the past, and networking is a critical part of that. You know, being about 13 years, you know, over into the clearancejobs.com site, there are so many recruiters and employers that we've been working with for well over a decade, and it's really interesting to see how these people that, you know, maybe 10 years ago you connected with and where they're at now. People that were entry-level recruiters are now VPs of HR.
Hmm.
People who, you know, were doing fairly basic program management work are now, you know, CEOs of small businesses.
Right.
So it really is about who you know, and you can never really discount that type of connection that you make right now. Could be something that down the road would be extremely valuable.
Evan, those are wise words to leave out with. I know you guys got a career fair next week, two career fairs, one in Maryland, one in Virginia. If you have a clearance, get on clearancejobs.com, sign up, get to one of those fairs, the Uncareer Fair, definitely a career fair that is unlike any other. You will definitely enjoy it. They got food, they got great employers, and it's not the long lines. You get a chance to really do some real networking, so get out. Evan, thank you so much for all your insight. Of course, we're going to definitely have you back as you're one of our favorites, but thank you for providing us the insight of the market.
Happy to help, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.